Disclaimer, there might be some mild sexual content within this show.
Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. So far. Where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever. Eventually.
Now, MC, we need to have a conversation.
Okay.
Because, listen, when you and I set out on a quest to watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually, I didn't think to put any stipulations in about porn.
Okay. I can see where this is going, but...
I'm not sure we should watch, discuss, and rank porn.
Okay.
I think we should watch... I think we should watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually, except for Caillou and porn.
Okay. Sounds good.
Then why the heck did you have me watch Food Wars?
Food Wars is not porn.
Are you sure?
One or two scenes where food causes hallucinations that are graphic,
yes,
but it's not porn. That girl who Maya, who we're about to get in, she's right in the first scene of the show, which this is like the second scene. That we're getting into. We're already jumping ahead, but that's not porn. I know what you're talking about, yes.
So we're here to talk about Food Wars, also known as Shokugeki no Soma, episode 1, The Endless Wilderness. But before we do that, we of course have to have our stand behind the scenes thing, except MC, a special surprise for today. You don't even know. We're having a guest come on for our behind the scenes segment. Probably if they're not able to come on, then the special guest you're going to hear in a minute is just going to be me doing a weird voice. But I think we're going to have a guest who's going to come on and do our behind the scenes segment. I think.
Oh, neat.
So, with that, we'll hit the special effects button and go to our guest.
Hey there, it's Ninjabori, Twirtle's internet friend. As he mentioned, I'll be his resident anime and manga consultant, providing some color to the backstory of where these series from Japan came from. As with many anime, Food Wars, or Shokugeki no Soma as it's called in Japanese, began as a manga published in Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump, the same magazine where legendary anime such as Dragon Ball, Naruto, and One Piece came from. The series began as a one-shot in the sister anthology magazine Jump Next, in April 2012, and later was picked up for weekly serialization in Weekly Shonen Jump in November of that year. It ran for 7 years through June of 2019, with 3 epilogue chapters in the monthly sister magazine Jump Giga. In total, there are just over 300 chapters collected across 36 volumes, with a spin-off series running on the Jump Plus website from February 2015 through June 2019, which was collected into 8 volumes. One of the most interesting things about the creation of Food Wars is that it is a collaboration between three minds, that of writer Yuto Chikada, artist Sun Sayaki, and food consultant Yuki Murasaki. As far as I can tell, this is the writer Chikada-sensei's first manga, and definitely his breakout hit. He won the Jump Manga Rookie Award in 2006 for the one-shot Kiba ni Naru, and then later had his first serialized work in Shonen Shiku. It was a soccer manga that ran in 2010 for about 16 chapters in Weekly Shonen Jump. In addition to Food Wars, he also wrote in 2016 a short 3-chapter sports romance related to skiing, Aono Reto, or Blue Archipelago. While Food Wars may not be a typical combat or sports zone in manga, you can definitely see how Tsukada Sensei's love for competition carried over to Food Wars. Perhaps the most influential individual in the creation of Food Wars is artist Sun Saeki. According to Tsukada Sensei in an interview, the seed for Food Wars came from Saeki Sensei going out drinking with his editor and pitching the idea of girls eating food and expressing how good the food was through quote-unquote ecstasy. Since he's primarily an artist, he didn't really want to worry about the story, and so the editor connected him with Tsukada Sensei. It's probably worth noting that while this is Saeki Sensei's first real mainstream serialized work, he has a wealth of work as a hentai artist under the pseudonym Tosh, T-O-S-H. While I unfortunately don't have much background information on his previous work in much detail, suffice to say that his experience drawing anatomy definitely carried over to the character designs and various situations that the characters find themselves in Food Wars. In addition to Food Wars, he made his mainstream debut in 2011 in the Jump Next one-shot Your and Mine Romance Counseling. In addition to the unique concept and strong character writing, the other pillar upon which Food Wars is formed is the authentic and fact-based recipes throughout the series that you can actually cook in your own kitchen. This is thanks to the consultation of chef Yuki Morisaki-san. In 2015, she actually wrote a cookbook which features recipes featured in Food Wars. As is the case with most successful Shonen Jump manga, Food Wars got greenlit for an anime. The first season aired in 2015 for 24 episodes, with two additional seasons airing afterwards in 2016 for 13 episodes, and 2017 into 2018 for another 24 episodes, for a total of 61 episodes with 5 original video animations or OVAs. The fourth season is actually set to premiere this coming October in 2019, though we don't yet know how many episodes that will be. If you're interested in reading or watching Food Wars, I definitely recommend it, up to a point. As is sadly the case with many long-running Shonen Jump anime, most notably Bleach, sometimes the plot outpaces the original concept and execution doesn't become as tight toward the end. Of the 300 or so chapters that were released, you can probably skip the last 40 or so, stopping after chapter 263, the end of the promotions exam arc. That happens to be the arc, actually, that we're going to be finishing up in the coming season of anime. Without spoiling anything, it does bring things full circle with a more or less satisfying conclusion without jumping the shark. That said, the early arcs definitely are worth checking out as it brings together the unique combination of art that's a feast for the eyes, in more ways than one, great themes of rising above what society has deemed your worth to be, and actually educational and achievable recipes you can cook at home. I actually made the gacha roast pork from the first chapter earlier this week, and I'm going to be cosplaying at Soma at this year's New York Comic Con. Sokugeki no Soma can be found for streaming on Crunchyroll and is licensed by Sentai Filmworks for home release in North America. For those who prefer to read and appreciate Saeki Sensei's great artwork, Viz Media has licensed it for release in North America and is available on the Manga Plus app and website. Anyway, without further ado, this has been Ninja Boy with the anime and manga consultation on how Food Wars got made. Back to you, Toriel and MC.
Let's just get into the show so we can get to the bit that you obviously want to discuss in this show.
I mean, I don't know that I want to discuss it, but yes, we can jump ahead. Although first, wait, I had something. These messages.
Podcasters Assemble! Podcasters Assemble Season 2 is a hype/rewatch podcast that's reviewing every movie in the Star Wars Skywalker saga and a countdown to the release of Episode 9. As with Season 1, where we covered all of the films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we want to hear from you about your favorite things in the Star Wars films. You can submit audio for just one of the movies in the Skywalker saga, or you can send in an audio file for every single one. Talk about what you love about the film, your favorite like light side moment versus dark side moment, or your favorite music cue, your favorite quote, or your favorite ship or vehicle in the movie. If you go to probablywork.com and look for Podcasters Assemble, you'll find these instructions as well as a link on where to go to submit your audio. In order to make sure we have time to edit everything, we're looking for you to submit your audio a couple days before. So the deadline for the first episode is going to be October 20th. And then it's weekly after that. So for episode 2, it's October 27th and so on from there. Again, you can find the schedule and all of this information at probablywork.com. Whether you're a podcaster, a YouTuber, a streamer, or just a fan of Star Wars, we want to hear from you. So head to probablywork.com or look up at Casters Assemble on Twitter and share your thoughts about Star Wars.
We've set up new ways that our listeners can interact with us. So Twitter and Instagram have been there for a while. We've got an email account. All of that's basesfcast. The email's at basesfcast@gmail.com. But now there's a Facebook page. So you can go to facebook.com/basesfcast and you can find the page for the show. And then there's also on that page, there's a button that says join group. We'll probably watch the group more than the page. To get to the group, you do have to know what one of our names are, which if you don't at this point, I'm a little hurt. We also have a YouTube account. If you search BaseSFcast on YouTube, then you'll find the episodes, but on YouTube. I was going to say, but in video format, but it's not really in video format because we don't record our faces. I guess we do record our faces. We're not putting up videos. Anyway, search BaseSFcast on YouTube. And then the final thing is, MC, you want to tell them about the voice messages?
Oh, yeah, that's right. On Anchor, you can actually go onto our podcast and it's a button. It's just a button that they can press.
It's just a button. It says send voice message.
And you click on that and you can record a little voice message for us. In fact, what we really are looking for is for people to drop in their opinion on the show that we're currently watching. And we will drop a few of those into episode 3.
Yep.
Probably right before we rank the show.
Yeah, I think that's the place to do it. It's kind of as we're wrapping up our thoughts on the show, then we can get a little bit of your thoughts on the show. And the page for that is just anchor.fm/basesfcast. Just whatever website you're on, put basesfcast at the end of it. Unless it's an adult website. Don't do that.
I mean.
Okay, now you can bring us back and get us into episode 1.
Okay, so here we are. We're getting a scene of, I guess, Japan, maybe Tokyo. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually sure.
And I don't know that they specify. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an urban Japan environment. Hey, dude,
yeah.
You gotta talk at the microphone, MC.
I am.
No, you're not. You're talking at your TV.
No.
There's a bug flying around. Hang on. Wait.
At my microphone.
Did I get it? MC, I might have gotten it, but it might have fallen in my coffee.
Oh.
I don't think it. MC, would a squished bug float? Oh, there it is.
Probably float, yes. But essentially, we see an urban environment, Japan. We see the Yukihara diner, and we hear a voiceover of someone talking about how disgusting some meal is and how squid tentacles and peanut butter don't go together. Yeah.
Fried squid tentacles and peanut butter. And
so bad that it makes him laugh.
He's giggling with delight over his little grill about how gross, it's the most disgusting thing. These flavors were never made to go together. And it's really gross. And he's very happy about how gross it is. And then somebody's like, hey, come have a cooking battle with me. And he's like, okay.
Yeah, and it turns out that he's going to get into a cooking battle with his dad, who actually runs Yukihara Diner. So the young boy is Soma Yukihara, and the dad's Jikiro or something like that.
Jichiro?
Yeah.
Let's call him Joe. No, MC doesn't want to call him Joe. I can tell by his face.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Just because his name starts with J-O.
Oh.
Like okay. Joe. Like Joseph.
Yeah.
So we call him Joe.
Okay. We can call him Joe.
Y'all, I think I've exhausted MC already this episode. He's broken.
I it's also been a long week, and it's 10:30 at night, and I've already had two beers.
Have you been looking forward all week to discussing food porn and also regular porn with your friend Troy?
Yes, I have, and the fact that I'm really tired right now, is like really bumming me out, because I really enjoy this show because of how ridiculous it is. Like you see in this first scene, like. When she tests Maya.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Mayu. She like tastes the food, and she has like this little quiver, and it's like
she has several little quivers all over her body. And Troy, watching this in not a private place, was like, huh? What's happening? What? Because she really likes this fried rice.
Oh
she,
yeah.
She enjoys this fried rice.
And too much.
A lot.
Declares that Joe's fried rice is the better of the two, and he proceeds to taunt his son, saying that there's almost 500 or approaching 500 losses.
And he's like, "You've lost to me like 500 times,"
and he's like,
"Someone's like, oh,
486 or something like that."
Aw, that's so many times.
Yeah. But he's still a kid. He's a 15-year-old kid.
He is a 15-year-old kid. And 486, assuming they have a cooking competition every other day, means they've been doing this for like 2 years, which means he's been – this father has been kicking his butt son in cooking competitions every day since he was 13 – or not every day, but since he was 13 years old. Don't compete with your children when they're 13 years old. Just support them. Don't compete them and flaunt your supremacy over them.
I mean, this kid really wants to beat his dad at cooking.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So they make fried rice, and it's real good. And he's like, I beat everybody. And then everybody else starts eating the fried rice. Excuse me, the fried rice. And everybody... Okay, time out, MC.
What?
Time out, MC. Listen, you... Who picked this show, MC?
I did.
You did. And you know what? This show is a little more... has a little more mature sexual content and themes than most shows that we watch.
I mean, a little bit, yes.
I think that it would be rude of us not to warn our listeners going into this. So your penance for picking this show and making me watch this food porn with you, and also regular porn, is that you have to record a little thing right now that I'm going to then copy out of this segment and put at the very beginning of the episode, warning our listeners that this has some stronger sexual themes than normal.
Okay, I can actually do that.
Okay, do it. You're up. I'm just going to sit here and listen.
Disclaimer. There might be some mild sexual content within this show.
And also some less mild sexual content.
I...
People explode juices out of their genitals that make their clothes explode. Anyway, okay.
That's not true.
That 123% happens.
There was no juices.
There were juices. We'll get to it. They're all coming in their pants is what I wanted to say, but I had to finish. We had to get a disclaimer out there first. They all eat the fried rice and they have orgasms.
And, yeah, essentially, she tries to, like after judging that the dad's fried rice is better, she's like, oh, you'll win one day sort of thing against him.
And, yeah, man, he's real supportive. Like, it's nice.
Yeah.
He would never do anything awful to her as a response to her supportive nature.
I mean, okay, what he does do is kind of horrible. He takes the horrible dish that he made at the beginning of this show, the one that he said was so disgusting that it made him giggle, the tentacle with peanut butter, Mm-hmm. And he puts it in her mouth. And she
forcibly, while she's saying no, no, no.
It's kind of gross. Yes, I will admit that. But
and then it, if it I could seems, MC, and then it turns into
like this isn't just him thing, but
and then like, it turns into tentacle porn. We literally see her legs being pulled apart by tentacles, and then tentacles go plunging towards her crotch while juices squirt out.
That's not true at all.
That's 100% true. Lie.
No, that's a lie.
MC, it's 100% true.
They just hold her ankles and wrists. There is no plunging towards her crotch. There is no pulling her legs apart. It's just holding onto her ankles.
MC, I need you to go to 2:51 and tell me that there are not tentacles plunging towards her crotch.
Nope. I don't believe that. I don't believe it.
If I felt like I could get away with it without getting kicked off of iTunes, I would make that our episode art for this episode. But I'm afraid they would say, what is this? No, go away. You are banned.
No. There's a clear scene where she still has her panties and everything on. It's fine. No,
that's true. But immediately before that scene, there are tentacles plunging towards her crotch while peanut butter juices shoot out of it.
No, I don't believe that. I'm denying it, even though it's clearly evident that that does happen in the episode.
Okay, we are only 2:50 in. We gotta put some steam on this one. So she's like, "Oh, it's so disgusting. It feels like my whole body is being like violated by the squid and peanut butter flavors." I think in the English one she said violated. I think maybe not. Okay. Oh no, she said. I think she said MC. I think she said filled. And meanwhile, Soma's like, that's right. Some food tastes really good and some tastes really gross. And that's where I want to be, is figuring out which food is good and which food is gross. That's like my destiny and stuff.
I want to reach that horizon. Mm-hmm. Intro. Whole bunch of characters that we don't get introduced to yet.
That's going to happen in every anime we watch, isn't it? It's like, wow, this show sure looks interesting later.
Yeah, exactly. Then we get some shady characters in a car. There's a lady wearing sunglasses at night.
She wears her sunglasses at night so she can steal a restaurant away from you.
Yeah, that's it. She wants to build a whole bunch of high rises or like apartment buildings. So they want to buy up the restaurant and they don't want to sell.
And man, Soma is like a cool cookie about this because she comes in and she's like, hey, I want to take over your restaurant. Check out my boobs. Can I have your restaurant, please? And he is not swayed either by her request to take over the restaurant or her like jiggly boobs that are bouncing all over the place.
Nope.
He's like, we'll never close up shop. And she's like, what if you couldn't serve your customers? And he's like, well, then we would have to close up shop forever because we would have brought dishonor to the restaurant. And she's like, oh, interesting. I'll BRB. I'll see you. Just give me like 10 minutes and I'll be back. No reason. Just see you soon. Bye. And she leaves.
And he burns up her card in some cool way with the charcoal grill.
It's super cool. He like picks it up using the tongs and is like waving around and then just burns it. And then he's like, hey, Dad, can we get out the salt and sanctify the restaurant because she made it gross in here?
Sick burn. Yeah. And he's like, no, that's a waste of salt.
Sick burns all around.
And then it cuts to him coming out of school. And walking home and getting, I guess, breakfast for tomorrow. And him and his dad are on a call. And his dad's gone away for the day, so the restaurant's supposed to be closed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when he gets home and the whole place is wrecked.
Well, first he goes to their storage. And it's all wrecked. Like, all the meat's broken. The refrigerators are broken, so all the food's spoiled. And then when he gets to the restaurant itself, like the signs all painted over and stuff, and the sunglasses lady, what is her name? Her name is Yeko Minigaski. Yako. Yako's like, oh boy, it sure looks like somebody ruined all your food and graffitied over your sign, but I wouldn't know anything about that. Anyway, I'm in the mood for some meat, big boy.
And then he's like, the place, isn't he like, the place isn't open?
I don't remember him resisting this at all, because she's just like, give me your big fat meat, you big boy.
I really wish you wouldn't make those noises.
And then she's like, check out my thigh highs and my jiggly breasts, big boy.
And then he cooks some delicious looking meal.
Yeah, he makes something that looks super good. And she's like, what? How could he have done this? There was no meat left in the storage. We made sure of it. And he's like, well, it's not meat, stupid person. It's potatoes, which is not meat.
I mean, there is meat on it. It's bacon.
Which makes me wonder, like, how do they miss the bacon? But also, if she asks for, she's like, I want a big, steamy, juicy meat dish, big boy. Bam, chicken, weenie. Then how, this doesn't qualify. It's not a big, thick, juicy meat dish, big boy.
I mean, technically it is, because it does have bacon on it, and the flavoring is meat.
I guess she should have been specific and asked for steak. Yes. Because then he would have been foiled. Important to note, she does have goons with her, also wearing sunglasses. So it's she's sitting at a table, and then behind her are her three goons in business suits and sunglasses. And she's like, all right, well, I guess I have to try this food he brought me now, because he served a customer and I'm the customer. So then she takes a bite, MC.
Squirming in her seat first, which is kind of bad as well.
Just smelling it makes her squirm in her seat.
Yeah. And she's all boobs and...
At one point, she's sitting there. Her shoulders are kind of scrunched up, and she's eating the food, and she's like, and her boobs are independently bouncing up and down. The food is so good, it made her boobs bounce.
I can't believe I got you to watch this show.
I can't believe you got...
It's really good, but...
MC, you know how Troy doesn't love anime?
Yeah.
Shows like this are why Troy doesn't love anime. Because I'm just like, why is this happening?
But he doesn't care at all.
No, he's not... Dude is horny for the food and not for the lady.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Like, let me tell you about how I made this food. First, I took the potatoes, and I peeled them and boiled them. And then I wrapped them all up inside of bacon, and then I tied it with strings around it and put a little bit of rosemary on it. Oh, and then I slow roasted it for a long time. Hey, you know what, MC?
You forgot the onions and the mushrooms that he mixed in with the potatoes. How could you forget that?
I want to eat the heck out of this meal. While I was watching this episode, I found a video of somebody making this recipe and sent it to Becky, and I was like, we need to make this, please. She responded with a gif of Fat Bastard saying, get in my belly. So we're going to make this at some point.
It looks so good.
Uh-huh. And then she's like squirming in her seat again, and be like, oh, yeah, it's so good, big boy, but it can't be called a meat dish, but... it's so good, I have to eat more. And he's like, no, I'm just going to take it away. And she's like, and he's like, maybe we can come.
Well, we're going to have to close down.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh, no, you guys can stay open. Mm-hmm. And all their problems ended. And he was going to go join his dad after middle school and just work at the restaurant for the rest of the time.
Are you trying to skip over what happens next, MC?
Maybe a little bit.
Because she eats more of the dish. She agrees to leave the restaurant alone, so he brings it back, and she eats more of it, and it's so good that her clothes explode off, and also the clothes of the men standing behind her explode off, and there's some sort of juices spraying from all of their orifices.
It's the meat juices from the dish. It's
that
not
doesn't
from
the- make it better.
Ha ha ha! It's supposed to be like their imagination of like,
So they're all getting blasted in the junk by meat juices.
Yeah.
While they fly around naked because the food is so good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Their clothes literally explode.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that actually happens.
It looks like they have meat juice pressure washers shooting them in the nuts.
I think it was like the squid thing. That didn't actually happen. It's part of their imagination.
There are sparkles flying out of her mouth.
Oh my god. No, this is why I try to skip over it. Oh my god. You've lost it.
So he's like, Dad, the restaurant's really cool. I'm going to work here forever. Don't you worry, I saved the day. And the dad's like, oh, well, I've got a mysterious past and I need to close a restaurant for a few years. So I'm going to send you to cooking school.
Yeah, pretty much. That I try to skip over it because we're going to crack up for the next 15 minutes. We have to finish this episode.
Okay. So at the school, there's people crying because they're like, oh, God, please don't kick me out. This school's so prestigious and stuff. And he's like, I guess at least I'm going to a good school and not a bad school. And then end of episode.
Yep.
Oh, MC.
I'm delirious.
MC. Ninja Boy 33333. I don't know how many threes are in his name. I think it's Ninja Boy 33. Anyway, over in the Geek to Geek community, tells me that the show gets more creative with its fantasies about food, where people are like imagining a tomato as Prince Charming or something instead of just getting blasted in the nuts by meat juice.
Oh, and it's great. There's some of them that they position the dishes strategically to hide the bits.
Instead of blasting the bits with pressure washer meat juices. However, my question is, how long does that take? I've only watched the first episode. Is episode two just as porny as this one?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. There's gonna be a few scenes in most episodes.
MC. Oh god. MC. Thank you, friends, for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Episode one of Food Wars show Shokugeki no Soma, The Endless Wilderness. We'll see you next time for an equally porny episode, which is called Episode 2, God's Tongue. No. I don't want to know what happens with God's tongue.
It's actually an ability.
Yeah, I'll bet it is.
Thanks for listening to The Best Animated Shows Ever, so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFCast or email us at BaseSFCast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFCast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
It's the ability to like distinguish flavors and tastes and whatever. Some person has it.
Yeah, MC. I'll bet it is. Bounce chicka wow now.
I hate that.